Well, first, 1,000 days of siege in what's been called the biggest open-air prison in the world, the Gaza Strip, and its population of 1.5 million. It's been almost 3 years since Israel has subjected the Gaza Strip to a policy of closure, but this clampdown actually started back in 1991. The current most extreme form of closure has been applied continuously since the 14th of June 2007. Apart from depriving the 1.5 million inhabitants of Gaza of basic goods and crippling the economy by preventing trade with the outside world, the closure regime has prolonged the suffering caused by the Israeli attacks on Gaza in December 2008 and January 2009. It has been prohibited to bring reconstruction materials, including urgently needed materials for the water and sanitation sector, into Gaza, leading to the ongoing homelessness and an impending crisis with regard to sewage and clean drinking water. And what has the international community, in particular the UN, done for these people? Why does the world stand and watch while Israel continues its systematic attack on Palestinian territories, including its siege on the Gaza Strip? We're going to talk to our first guest on this from Gaza, from the International Solidarity Movement. Radmila Stoyanovich joins us. Radmila Stoyanovich, thanks for joining us. There's a disastrous situation, as I'm sure you're well aware, in the Gaza Strip unfolding, yet the international community appears unable to stop Israel. How do you explain this inaction?
Yes, I'm not sure if I can tell you why international community is not reacting, but what I can tell you about is what I have seen in the 2 months that I've been in Gaza. A friend told me that for people all over the world to travel, it means to go and buy the ticket, but for Gazan it's a dream. This inability to go in and out affects everybody. Palestinians who live in Gaza are themselves refugees, or most of them, and they live all around the world. People cannot visit their children living abroad. There are people who have never seen their grandchildren. Another group of people who is particularly badly affected is people who are desperately ill and who rely on going abroad to get treatment for the illnesses like cancer, heart problems, strokes. Many of those people actually never make it abroad but die while waiting. And I have recently heard that 400 people actually died while waiting to get permission to leave Gaza. I also recently went to the hospital in Rafah, and I was told that every little bit of equipment which is broken takes months to be replaced, no matter how essential it is for survival of the patients. A list of people who are affected is long. Everybody is affected in many ways. Ordinary Gazans have to buy food which is brought in through tunnels which cost loads of money, and actually everybody, lots of people are making really good profits on the suffering of Gazans. Possibly why world is inactive is because there is no information coming out of Gaza. People are not always aware of how it feels to be here and the implications on life of everybody that this horrible siege has. So as a volunteer with the International Solidarity Movement, it is my aim and the aim of my colleagues to shout as loudly as I can to make sure that people know what's going on here so that they can put the pressure on their governments. And hopefully this horrible siege will stop.
You mentioned many different factors that constitute to what is required for a basic human being to survive, which involve medicine, food, water, and electricity supplies. Now, aside from the examples that you stated, which you said was just on your recent experience there, which this has been going on for quite some time, then it may lead some to conclude that Israel is actually denying, and their denial actually constitutes an ethnic cleansing. Do you agree with that?
Well, definitely Gazans are denied their basic needs. They cannot meet their basic needs because of the siege. We all know about the water being polluted. We know that Israelis bombed during the massacres the sewage processing plants, and the masses of sewage actually is now pumped into the sea, and it's kind of polluting the seawater, and it's polluting the fish. Also, the sewage water is mixing with the drinking water, etc., etc. There is no electricity in Gaza, which obviously causes serious problems. Yes, So there are all these basic things that everywhere else in the world people take for granted, which Gazans cannot struggle to meet on a daily basis.
Some recent conferences regarding Palestine, which involve Gaza, one just took place in Spain called the Russell Tribunal. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It just ended.
Yes.
The EU and Israel, they were both condemned in almost all accounts. But the main focus was the obligation of the international community and, of course, the signatory states, which sustain and enable Israel to continue their violations. What movement can be done in that regard? You're part of the what's called the international solidarity movement. You bring awareness, but what more do you think can be done?
Well, I personally think that every rule, every bit of humanitarian law is broken currently in Gaza. And this is what Russell Tribunal was dealing with. It was looking into the European Union rules and laws and actually what Europe should be doing in relation to Gaza, and it's not doing. I also understand that the next part of the Russell Tribunal will be focusing on boycott and disinvestment and sanctions against Israel. And many people actually see that as one way of actually stopping this abuse of human rights of Gazans.
Okay.
And basically what is in every sense of the word a collective punishment of Gazans for collective punishment really,
okay,
which is against the humanitarian and other law. Yeah.